In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And we are on our second week now of quarantine.
Yep.
Chronicles, right?
The quarantine chronicles. Yes. Yeah.
Yes,
did we call it that last time? I can't remember.
I don't know if we did. I think we were just worried enough about, dear God, please let us get this recording in so we don't have to put this thing on hiatus. Because hiatus is just supposed to mean we're taking a break. But in fact, what it ends up meaning usually is that things just dissolve and fall apart. Right, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible.
I remember you telling me that word before.
I know.
I remember you saying, no, we're going on hiatus. And then guess what?
It's a terrible, terrible thing to have to go through. The hiatus discussion is always not pleasant.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't want that. So I think we were so worried last time about, let's just get this done. Let's just get this recorded.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure we can make it work so that we can keep doing this and not have to lose another thing we love.
Right? Damn it.
Sorry, I'm feeling emotional today.
I could tell.
It might be the stress.
That's
okay. It might be the alcohol. It might be the pizza. I had pizza tonight.
I had pizza too.
Where did you have pizza from? Let's talk up some establishments. Where did you get your pizza from?
I would rather not divulge that information to you.
Why?
Because you would frown upon it.
Where'd you get your pizza from?
My freezer.
Just say it. Oh, you had freezer pizza.
Oh yeah, I totally have freezer pizza.
Nice. Hey, dude, I am a big proponent of frozen pizza.
There are
some frozen pizzas that are a step above regular pizza.
Seriously. Is true. I've personally been a fan. Like, Red Baron doesn't do me too wrong. They're pretty good. I dig on Red Baron.
Okay. I'm not a huge fan.
This one was a Totino's, though. Like, we just, like, it's because they're so damn cheap. They cost,
you're talking a buck a piece. You're talking the freaking square ones? Now they're the square Totino's?
Yeah.
Which one did you have? Pepperoni, combination?
Combination this time.
That's one of the best ways to go. Although recently they have one out that has bacon on it. No joke.
I have had the bacon one before, and it is pretty damn good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty damn good.
Well, no, and see, that's the thing is, Totino's are usually something we keep in the house on a regular basis, just because of the fact that for a $1.25, depending on where you're getting it from.
Yeah.
It's so damn cheap.
Oh, absolutely.
And they have we are definitely the frozen pizza generation. Like the boomers are the frozen dinner generation, you know, the TV dinner generation.
Oh,
we are the frozen pizza generation. Now the millennials, they get to be the more of the hot pocket and pizza rolls generation. They can have that.
I was going to say hot pockets. Pizza rolls was kind of like a big thing for me, but I can understand as far as like the millennials. Sorry, I was going like the younger millennials and like the Gen Zers now. They have almost about sworn off like frozen food. I don't see a lot of them having any kind of like, you know, TV dinners frozen food. They're more
that's just sad for them.
But, yeah, they're more like the kombucha generation, you know.
Oh God, I guess their taste buds were fried.
I still to this day I've never looked it up. I don't know what kombucha is. I know it's some kind of fermented, but it's not alcohol. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the only thing I want fermented is my grain. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Ferment me a grain, and I'm good with that.
Yep.
Anyway, no. Freezer pizza, man. Freezer pizza is its own kind of thing. Is its own kind of language, and it's also its own kind of. There's a hierarchy to it. Like Totino's is on the cheap end.
Yep.
Price wise, but like Totino's is like classy cheap. You know what I'm saying?
It is. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. It's classy cheap because like okay, let me use like the beer analogy for you, right?
Okay.
Like for some reason, I don't know what it is that it comes out this reason, but like Bud Light is more classy than Budweiser, which is weird because Budweiser is the main brand, right?
Right, right.
But it's like, it's still a cheap beer, but it's way more classy if you show up with a 12 pack of Bud Light than if you show up with a 12 pack of Budweiser, because that indicates almost like you're some, you know, weird 42-year-old man who sits on his out in his lawn in a lawn chair with a wife beater half up his belly, fingering his, you know, belly button while he's watching kids walk down the street. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the image that crafts up with me with Budweiser. But like I said, you show up to the party with some Bud Light, that's a lot better. That's a lot classier than showing up with some like Natty Light. You know what I'm saying?
No, Natty Light is. Yeah, but I could. Okay, I see where you're coming from. I don't know what the comparison would be with Totino's as far as like what's lower brow than Totino's. That's what I want to know.
Mr. P's.
I've never had that. I don't even know where that is.
Food Max is where I found Mr. P's mainly.
Yeah,
it's almost the same price as Totino's. It's like maybe 12-cent difference.
Right.
But like if you grew up in a super poor family, like a food stamps using family, those 12 cents make a difference. Those 12 cents equal up to like over 8 pizzas. You get a 9th pizza for those 12 cents.
You know what I'm saying? I think the farthest I think I shopped at Food Max like twice in my entire life. The farthest normally I would go was like Winco. But here's the thing, like Winco, like,
yeah,
Winco is, we go to Winco just because the price of the meat that they cut is so damn cheap in comparison to literally everybody else.
Yeah, Winco's got good meat prices.
Although right now, like, not to get shitty about it, but right now, Lord, the price of meat is insane. And I meant the last time I went shopping for meat was like 3 weeks ago, I think, because we stocked up with meat for the freezer, because it was just a good idea. And I think, what was it like? It was like $12 for a pound of like sirloin, which,
yeah, no, I don't pay over $5 for meat of any kind.
It was insane. That was 3 weeks ago. Now it's from things I'm hearing recently, it's a much different story. Like it's even worse. But that's why I shop at Food Max.
That's why I shop at Food Max, bro. Because Food Max got some pretty cheap prices on meat too.
Okay,
but
that's legit.
But anyway, no, the Mr. P's is like the real low end of the pizza chain.
Oh, okay.
Totino's at least is like, all right, that's not bad, and it's better than I'm trying to think now. There's one brand that's like just a little bit, it's a little bit more expensive than Totino's, but they're awful pizza. They have a terrible flavor to them.
Oh, let's see.
I'm going to find it.
I think I know what you're talking about. There's a couple of
Tony's.
Tony's sucks.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, garbage. I can't necessarily, yeah. We're not endorsed by Totino's in any way, shape, or form, but if there was if there was a brand of frozen pizza you could pay me to hate, it would be Tony's.
Tony's,
like,
yes.
I feel I'm making money saying how much I don't like that pizza, and I'm not making a dime.
No, Tony's is awful. I'm not a huge fan of Tombstone pizza.
I'm okay with Tombstone.
To me, it's the sauce has always been kind of iffy on me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you see all the DiGiorno commercials. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
Yeah.
Although if you have your food delivered to your house now, it's still delivery. if you have DiGiorno's delivered to your house. I'm just saying. DiGiorno to me is like, if I'm gonna pay $7 for a frozen pizza, I might as well just order a damn pizza.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's why I said too. Because the worst case scenario you're gonna have is you could pay less for a hot and ready than you could for a frozen pizza at $7, because you're gonna get about the same amount of flavor at that point. Like if you're gonna pay out for a hot and ready for $5, you're gonna get a little bit too much garlic butter on your pizza.
Yeah.
We'll be real, but yeah, at least it's like not. The thing is you pay $2 less and you don't have to wait to cook it. You just get it.
Yeah.
Although I will say this.
And you have the same limitations of flavors, really, of like pepperoni and sausage. And maybe you get one that has multiple meats on it. So that's the one that's like $7.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Again, you just drive up to that, you know, Italian place. It's named after a Roman emperor. And a midgetary Roman emperor. And you get your thing. You pay your $5 or your $7 or whatever. Pop it out of the thing, and you're good to go. You don't have to worry about, do I have freezer space? Can I, you know, just, like you say, that's when and that's the thing is, the DiGiorno to me is just so overpriced. You're having to put in the work for the same price as you can get another, basically about the same pizza.
Exactly. That's where I sit with it too. Now I will say this. So for the first time before all this kicked off really bad, about a month and a half ago, Tash and I, that's my wife, for anybody that doesn't know,
holy crap, you said her name.
No, I said her name.
You're going to have to bleep it out.
Uh-oh.
Do a chicken sound. That'll be funny.
We don't need...
Go and record chicken sounds, your own personal chicken sounds, and then use that to bleep out her name.
Yeah.
You have to now. I've said you're doing it.
Yep.
So you have to go and do it.
Okay. All right, fine. my wife and I went and we bought real scratch ingredients and made our own homemade pizza from dough.
Yeah.
And I learned how to like flip it and make the whole thing. And dude, life changed, man.
Yeah, you have a stone, right?
We don't have a stone. Wait.
Okay.
We have a pizza pan, but we don't have a stone.
Yeah, a stone is nice to have, but they're hard to. They can sometimes be hard to work with if you're not using enough cornmeal. But I think I have two of them.
That's I hear tell they're pretty tough to clean too.
They're
is that
a
the case?
Bitch to clean.
Yeah,
yeah, they're okay. A bitch to clean. Right. But that's the thing is, if you've done it right, and you got enough cornmeal on them, you shouldn't have anything to clean.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things that it just takes. It takes time. It takes getting used to. It's like barbecuing, not grilling, but barbecuing.
Right.
There's an art form to it.
Yep.
It's not just fire food. There's an art to it. Same with working with a pizza stone. There's a bit of an art to it.
Yep.
But did you try? I don't remember if I asked you at the time. Mm-hmm. But I remember hearing you say something about it. Did you try my famous chili dog pizza?
I did not try.
Know about it?
I did not actually. No, I don't remember. If you may have told us about that quite some time back, and I must have forgotten.
Actually, wait, did you have pizza? Our tall redheaded friend, my tall redheaded friend, and you kind of know him.
Yes.
Did you have pizza at his house the day he was making pizza on the pizza stone?
I don't remember being there.
You probably weren't there that day. That's fine.
Okay.
That's when I first came up with the idea.
I'm assuming this is a meal that you never forget, which is why you asked me, because it's been years since I've seen that guy.
Although it was back, it's been years since I've seen him too. But the chili cheese pizza is, or the chili dog pizza I came up with during that that night.
Okay.
And so that's
really?
When next time you're doing your own pizza, you have to try the chili dog pizza. I'll give you all the ingredients.
Yes, please.
Actually, I've told you them before, right?
I think you have. If you want to share I don't know if you're talking about sharing the recipe.
I will share again because it's nothing. I mean, it's nothing like it's some family secret or nothing.
Okay.
It's not like our A to Z bread recipe. We can't give that out. That is a family secret. My wife married me to get that recipe from my dad.
Okay. Well, I can understand that.
And it's a good recipe. Basically, you do whatever dough that you like for your pizza dough. The dough is basically based on what you like for a dough.
Right.
Whether it's whether you buy the dough already made, you make your own fresh, you make it a gluten free, doesn't matter.
Right.
But the chili dog part of it is you get the beanless chili. It's key. You have to get the beanless chili, like the hot dog sauce type chili.
Okay.
So in the can, you can get it in the can. You don't have to make your own. It's not like you're going to sit around and make your own pizza sauce to put on
right.
homemade pizza. You just buy a jar or a can or something.
Right.
So the can of chili with no beans.
Right.
And then I suggest buying kielbasa as your kind of hot dog substitute.
Okay.
Just because when you slice it, it holds up a little bit better. You could also, if you don't want to do kielbasa, you could do Linguica works very well for that purpose.
Okay, I can understand. Okay,
agreement.
I like where this is going.
So you use the hot dog chili sauce as your sauce, and it's got a little bit of meat in it. You want to make sure to go fairly thin with the sauce, but having the meat in it is kind of good. You want to do this is one where you do it almost predominantly cheddar, maybe a little tiny bit of mozzarella into the mix, but for the most part, it's cheddar.
Okay.
Normally, you want to do maybe a little bit of a mozzarella cheddar mix when you're doing a pizza.
Okay,
this is more cheddar, so you want to be sparing with it because too much cheddar can get a little oily.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you want to do some cheddar on first, and then you take your linguica or your kielbasa, whichever one of these larger sausages that you pick, and you kind of want to cut it on a little bit of an angle. So you get these kind of long angular pieces instead of just completely round pieces.
Okay, yep.
And you put it around the pizza and sprinkle on just a little bit more of that cheddar, get some on top of the sausage pieces.
Yep.
That's the end of it.
Really? No extra toppings? No, sorry,
that's not actually that's what I was saying. Sorry, it's not the end of it.
Oh.
You do want to have I was wrong when I first said it was the end of it. You do want to have on the side ready chopped onion, preferably white.
Right.
You do not cook the pizza with the onion on it. You put the onion on afterwards.
That makes sense.
Raw onion.
Yeah.
Just like you'd get on your chili dog, that raw onion.
Right, raw onion on the chili dog. Not like, you don't cook the onion.
No, not at all.
I'm going to have to try this because that sounds killer. That sounds absolutely killer.
If you're a chili dog fan, it's flipping amazing. It takes two wonderful foods, pizza and chili dog, mash them together in all the right ways.
Dude, yeah, I'm there. I've got to try this out. I will do what I can to respond with a full report ASAP on my findings.
Now, see, I wasn't, for tonight, I wasn't as financially circumspect as you were.
Right.
To use a freezer pizza. And again, I applaud the use of freezer pizza. I love them very much myself. I've used them in multiple purposes.
Oh, why, thank you.
Totino's are great. I also just want to add real quick, it's a Walmart store brand. The Great Value pizzas that Walmart does are actually pretty decent, and they're only like $3.
You know, I haven't tried them, and I've always been curious about them.
They're not bad. They're not great.
Okay.
Mind you, but they're not bad.
Okay. I'll have to check them out.
Do so.
Yeah.
I very much recommend it. But as we spoke of the hierarchy of kind of frozen pizzas a little bit, there's a hierarchy to the chain pizzas, or even not even chain pizzas, but going out to get pizza restaurants. There's a hierarchy to that.
Right.
There are some that are good. There are some that are passable.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that are, oh my God, is this even really pizza?
Oh, right.
Well, sadly, because of where I live, we only have one pizza place that actually delivers to us.
Oh, man.
So
that
we are
sucks.
Kind of...
We got like two or three out here where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, and you end right down the road from you.
Oh, yeah. It's like a five. Yeah, it's like 5 minute drive.
You have an awesome place that you can pick up pizza from that's like, I will say, some of the best pizza I've had in a while. That pizza is good.
Isn't it good? It's so good.
Well, I say we have the one place we order from. So when we decide we want to order pizza, it's the only place that we can order from when I don't want to get off my fat butt and go anywhere to get pizza.
Right. Where's that? Who's
Pizza Hut?
Oh man, the only place that delivers is Pizza Hut out there.
Yeah, it's the only place that delivers is we get Pizza Hut.
Every time I've gone to Pizza Hut, like I just haven't liked what I got. It's like Pizza Hut's one of those. You know what it is? What I remember about Pizza Hut is that when I was going to middle school, Pizza Hut, the personal Pizza Hut pan pizzas.
Yep.
They had those. They served out. I loved them when I was like 12. And every once in a while, I'll drive by one or I'll be like, you know what? I might want to try that out or something. You know, just like, let's give it a shot. And then every time, I don't like it.
Do you get the pan pizza every time? Or do you get the regular pizza?
I get the regular pizza.
That's why you don't like it.
It's good in a small serving, isn't it?
No, that's not what it is. The key to good Pizza Hut pizza is getting the pan pizza.
Ah.
The pan pizza makes it better.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, because the thing is, when they do the pan pizza, it gets a nice browned crust on the bottom that's almost buttery, and okay. then it's got the fluffy dough on the top with the toppings on it. The okay. problem is, a lot of people don't like a thick pizza. So
okay.
you have that issue sometimes, but that's the real reason. That's the real key to getting, if you want that nostalgia back from eating that personal pan pizza, you need to order their pan pizza, and then you'll get that same, oh yeah, I remember why I liked this. This was amazing. Pan pizza is their thing. Their regular pizza, it's all right. Their wings, however, their boneless wings, uh-huh. pretty darn good.
Oh, okay.
And Wednesday is their wing day. They do a promotion on their wings on that day. So today is Wednesday. Ha ha. I said what day it was. And so
we're not cramming this the night before it goes out.
I'm good at cramming things. Bow chicka bow wow. But anyway, so yeah,
we the alcohol's getting to you, I see. Some,
maybe just a little bit.
Feeling it.
Well, that was kind of the other thing I was going to talk a little bit about is, have you noticed yourself in this new isolation situation imbibing more?
Yes, and I'm a little ashamed for it. Like
this is don't be so ashamed, because this is a national phenomenon.
Oh, everybody's drinking more? Well, there's nothing else.
Everybody's
like,
drinking more.
When you really think about it, yeah, you go out, you work, you have your stuff, you come back home. You chill,
and
you do whatever.
And you're too damn tired to drink.
And but here's the problem. Everybody's home. Everybody's bored. There's, like, nothing to really, like... And I'm not trying to get into the negative things.
Well, no, like, 3 o'clock comes around, right? 3 o'clock comes around, and normally I'd be, like, coming home with kids, having, you know, from school, having done a bunch of things throughout the day, and I'm kind of exhausted, and I just want to rest till, you know, five o'clock or so when we have to start figuring out what to make dinner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah. Like, 3 o'clock rolls around now, and you've done all your stuff for the day.
Yeah.
Your kids are done with all of their stuff, and they've already been in their rooms doing their thing for, like, an hour and a half.
Right.
And you see the clock is at 3 o'clock, and you're on your, like, third show on Food Network. I mentioned that on purpose because that's what we're going to talk about in the second half of the podcast.
Ooh,
today.
Okay. Yeah, there was a plan.
Somewhat of one, I guess. but you're on your third show on Food Network, and you're like, damn it, I need a drink. And normally you would this voice happens in your brain on a regular basis anyway. You know, you're standing in line at the bank, and
right.
So some boomer is up at the counter, still pulling the stuff out of their wallet or their purse because they didn't have it ready in their hand when they were waiting in line to actually deal with the problem. They're trying to find their checkbook so they can fill out their deposit slip. And oh, right. Where's the check I was going to put in? And the money I had some cash here and some change, and they're still pulling all that out because, again, not prepared, not ready for it.
Right.
And, you know, there's those moments where you stand there in line and be like, oh, damn, I need a drink. And then you look around and you're like, well, I'm in public. I'm going to have to go get back in my car. Not really an okay place to have a drink. Now, admittedly, there are some people who just be like, yep, I'm going to have a drink, and reach in and grab their flask and take a drink anyway, because some people just want to watch the world burn. Wow. And, you know, that's life. But the majority of us have been taught, no, that is not the situation where we should take a drink. It's also not the situation where we should bash the old person in the back of the head with, you know, one of those metal things that hold up the strings for the line. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know? Yeah, you don't want to. You have that voice in your head that says, "Don't pick that up and start hitting people. It's not nice. That's not what's appropriate to do. You don't want to sit in the corner and time out."
Sit in the corner and time out.
So, or in my case, you're too pretty to go to prison. You know,
right? Right? Exactly.
It's we have that filter, but like now, and again, normally we'd be sitting at home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have that voice say, you know, I need a drink. And the other voice says, yeah, but you have to make dinner and you have to do this and you have to do that. You got to wake up early in the morning tomorrow and take a shower so that you can go do this and go do that. So you're like, oh, fine, I probably shouldn't. I'll wait till after dinner to have a drink. And you maybe get in one drink after dinner, right, before you go to bed. Maybe
right.
two if you're feeling a little froggy, right?
Right.
Well, now when that voice hits you at 3 o'clock, I need a drink. There's no other voice. The other voice
well,
is no
other thing that you
stop.
Have to do.
Yeah, that other voice is just sitting there like, yeah, you probably do need a drink. I have no reason to stop you. Go have your drink, sir. And then you start drinking at 3 o'clock and stop.
And
at
by the time dinner rolls around, you've had four.
Yeah, basically. And you're like, well, the dinner will soak some of it up so I can have more. And of course, you're like, I had
this is you know it sucks because this sounds this you sucks because it sounds pretty dangerous, and I'm quite sure that it is. But the thing is that there's a lot of people that are doing that, a lot.
It's
and that's and not a that I don't consider it to be a good thing. But I mean, I am drinking more because I don't have like I'm doing other things to occupy my time as well. Like but
I'm not
the. I'm doing other things to occupy my time as well. I've got a lot of other stuff that I work with other media. And honestly, like I'm putting myself through the ringer right now, teaching myself how to do all of the things I've wanted to learn how to do for years that I haven't had the time to sit down and really concentrate on. And it's not about being productive. It's just about wanting to finally having the time to want to do the thing. But that doesn't mean that halfway through the day, since I'm already home and I'm not going to be going anywhere and I have no other responsibilities outside of the house, aside from taking care of small things inside, I can still, you know, do the dishes and take out the trash with a drink in my hand. So I sometimes do that. And it is more often now than it used to be, which... Again, I don't think that's a good thing, and I don't necessarily, personally, I wouldn't promote that, but I'm just sharing that I am also partaking in that new phenomenon habit.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, first thing I want to say is I fell asleep halfway through what you were saying.
Shut up.
So you're going to have to repeat it all. But no, and that's, I mean, I'm not saying that it should be something we should do, but yeah, it is the reality that it is happening
oh,
to
yeah.
more and
oh,
more
yeah.
people.
Oh yeah, it is happening whether or not we should do it. It is.
And that's literally my mental process that happened today was exactly that. It was about 3 o'clock and I was like, yeah, okay, let's have a drink. And a couple of drinks, and no, I don't want what we were originally planning to have for dinner, so I'm going to order a pizza. And then the thought went, I can have beer with pizza. Beer goes good with pizza.
Yes.
I can just keep the train rolling all night long.
Dude, okay, so get this. This is...
What am I getting? Is it a prize? I love prizes. Does it have a bow?
No. Be blue? I mean, I can't give that to you over the phone, I guess, but...
Damn it.
I'm sorry. So one of the things that is doing this, definitely, is you named it out, is the, you know, I mean, you named it out without actually like calling it out. The thing is that the habits that you have as a person just going through your daily routine stop you from thinking about that, even though you think about wanting to have that. You think about wanting to have a drink all the time. A lot of people do. And again, it's
and
not healthy,
I don't even
and
drink
you
that
shouldn't
much.
Do that much. But
yeah.
The problem is that none of those things are stopping you from doing that. That's it's almost like if you don't want to do that, you have to make a conscious decision not to.
Well, and let's dive even deeper into this, Mike. Let's dive even deeper into this. No, seriously, I want to really go into the psychology of this. You're right. That you're explaining even further what I was saying before, diving into the psychology of we don't have these checks in place anymore because we don't have these responsibilities. We can't keep and maintain to that schedule.
Right.
Now imagine, Mike, imagine if you lived in a situation where every single day, nothing you did would ever change what your situation is. It's such a dire situation that it would take a miracle to pull you out of that situation. Think of the fact. Think of the idea of you having nowhere to live. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have nowhere to live. You have nothing to root yourself to. What kind of a routine can you have? What kind of checks and balances can you have in place? When we have the response that is often had of homeless people that become drug addicted or alcohol addicted, or any of the major problems that beset them,
right?
It would help to realize that a big part of that problem is the fact they really have nothing to stop them from doing that. And that provides them at least some escape from the grimness of the reality.
That's, as terrible as it is. Yeah, it is. It's extremely grim. And as terrible as
it
is.
And that's, we're feeling a small little taste of that when just the slightest bit of our schedule gets disrupted. The slightest change.
Right.
Imagine the momentous amount of change that it would have to be gone through, the momentous upheaval of your life that you'd go through if you were homeless, if you were completely jobless and couldn't get or find a job. These are the type of things that lead people into the different substance issues.
Definitely.
And so much of a part of it is the fact that if you don't have those checks and balances, if you don't have those things in place to stop you from maybe going too far into many of these things, anybody could very easily be overwhelmed by them.
Absolutely.
And again, we're getting to see such a small little slice of it, and some people are understanding it and some people are just embracing it and pushing the blame off on something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah. The biggest thing is that, the biggest thing that affects all of what we're talking about is that, especially now on the grand scale that things are happening in at the moment, is that humans are very much creatures of habit. And
yes,
the thing is habits can be very quickly developed. They can be easily developed without really that much of a push, but it is so difficult to break them once they've the biggest takeaway that I could take from this is that it's definitely going to take a conscious effort to re-assimilate yourself into not hurting yourself in a new normalcy.
Yeah,
you know, like it's,
well, and I can say I've had moments where I've done a little bit of drinking more at various points in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, to me, this is falling into a similar category, because honestly, I wouldn't say my life has changed very much with the quarantine situation, with the shelter in place mm-hmm. situation. It really hasn't changed the way I do things. I stay at home all the time anyway.
Right.
I think it's more, for me personally, it's more of a stress over the direction of things and again, staying at home, not going out many places, I've done that for years.
Yeah.
But all of the other combined things that are happening with it are stressful, and this is starting to become my personal medication for it. And I know I need to be careful about it, not let it consume me and overwhelm me. But at the same token, right now, it's what I got to do, or what I what I am doing. Speaking of which, I'm sad at the moment, Mike.
Well, why?
I have sadness.
Why?
Because my beer is empty.
Does that mean it's time to take a quick break?
No, because I'm not going to get up off my ass and go grab another beer. I'm lazy. Although by my calculations, it's pretty close to time to take a break. When we do, I really was watching Food Network earlier today, knowing that we were going to have a recording session for the podcast, and I got to thinking to myself, I don't remember Food Network when I was a kid. I remember, you know, seeing a few chefs on TV when I was a kid, but I don't remember Food Network, and there's kind of a reason why.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to posit to you here that Food Network was in many ways aimed at the younger Gen Z crowd, or sorry, Gen X crowd, the younger Gen X crowd, and the Zennials.
Oh, really?
and it was aimed at taking at basically destroying our brains or addicting us to food porn. That's my firm belief. And I'm gonna explain why. It hinges on one specific person and the fact of when kind of Food Network came out, but one person that they hired in the beginning of Food Network that I believe was brought in to suck in the young Gen X and the Zennial crowd, to suck us in and make us lovers of food porn.
Oh,
when we
boy.
Come back, we will talk a little bit about that.
This sounds great.
Oh yes, it is. So everybody, enjoy your break. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Zennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we are back.
Woohoo!
We got drinks refreshed.
First thing out of his mouth.
Hey, man, this is...
I figured if you can't beat him, join him. And I was without drink the first half, so I'm having a little thing to relax. See how the night takes us.
I've always figured if you can't beat him, watch more porn or take a blue pill.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Is that wrong? Maybe it's wrong.
Make sure your kids aren't listening, guys. Although you shouldn't be anyway. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't this supposed to be like, aren't you supposed to have warnings about adult content and fucking language where people are fucking saying fucking words all the fucking time?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay, I'm just...
We should have Scott do another... We should do a language warning. Have Scott do a language warning. He would be fantastic.
Yes. And sorry, I was trying to illustrate the diversity of the word. So
thank you.
You're welcome. I try. Anyway, when last you heard from us, like 15, 20 seconds ago, we were mentioning, or I was mentioning, that we were going to talk about Food Network and its targeted audience.
Yeah, I really want to hear about this. I know nothing about what he's going to bring in.
Here's the thing. So I was watching Food Network earlier today, like I tend to do. I'm a fat guy. So food porn is another version of porn. It's a safe version of porn that I can watch where, like, the only real physical reaction is a rumbly tumbly. You know what I'm saying? Feeling a little bit like Winnie the Pooh when he wants some honey.
Right.
None of the other things that make it, you know, awkward to stand up.
Right.
So I'm watching, of course, one of Food Network's kind of current stars, darlings, however you want to put the description for him. I think he's related to that Tiger King guy from the Netflix series. But it's Guy Fieri, Don't get me wrong. I like Guy Fieri. He's hilarious.
Right.
He's so much fun to watch. Admittedly, my hairstyle used to be like his back when I was, I don't know, 19, 20, if you remember correctly.
I do, sir.
I didn't have the facial hair that he did, nor did I dye the facial hair.
But you had the flame shirts, didn't you?
I had the flame shirts and I had the frosted tip hair. So
he was throwing this down way before Fieri was on air, though.
Yes, very much so.
Way back.
Back in the day when it was kind of the thing to do, Guy never grew out of it. He just stayed in it.
Back when Linkin Park was a new band.
Yes, back when Linkin Park was a new band. God, yeah, I remember that. Hybrid Theory, great album.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, I'm watching one of his various shows because he has so many different shows. Mm-hmm. And as I'm watching it, I'm kind of thinking back on all the food shows that I've watched over my lifetime and realizing that I really started watching food shows really heavily when my kids were born. So, you know, early 2000s. Okay, I got married, moved into a house, kids get made and born. I start watching some more food shows. Now, part of that is because I'm sitting at home and trying to, you know, get a kid to go to sleep and find something on that's not too bright, flashy lights or noisy or anything. And that at least keeps my attention enough that I don't fall asleep while I'm trying to get the kid to fall asleep. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm watching these people make all these different things. I realized growing up, we had like a couple of places where you could see some cooking shows at certain times of the day, but never a dedicated network just to cooking.
Right.
And I start realizing what I'm seeing in effect is two different things that happened. One was the fact that during our lifetime, during our teenage years and into our adulthood, we saw the huge expansion of cable channels.
Right.
From just a couple of channels to hundreds and hundreds of channels. We saw the satellite TV revolutions with DirecTV and Dish. And then the cable services expanded to kind of meet the same demand that you were seeing on all these other services. You get hundreds of these channels. You went from having an MTV and a VH1, like five different MTVs and three different VH1s, and not a single goddamn one of them actually showed music anymore.
Yeah.
But still, this expansion happened. So I'm thinking, okay, that's part of it. That's one of the main reasons why we're seeing Food Network. But why am I so interested in Food Network? Why has this one captivated me so much? And why has it captivated so many people from our generation? And from the kind of the younger Gen Xers, why is this one so much more captivating?
And it was the flame shirt, man. Come on.
No, it wasn't
cut
the flame
print.
Shirt.
That's
it
the
wasn't
answer.
The flame shirt.
No?
No, 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 no. Goes even deeper. So I did a little bit of research. And when I say a little bit, I literally mean a little bit. Like I looked up Food Network on Wikipedia and did that level of research. Not the
it's
level
okay.
that I am
hey,
normally used
hey,
to
wherever
doing.
Wherever information is available, that is fine, man.
Well, no, normally when I bring up a topic like this, I've done a lot of research on it before we bring it up.
Right.
You know, when we talked about Blockbuster, Starbucks, all those things, I had tons of research, right?
For sure.
Yeah, this time I had already had my first drink of the day, so I was like, well, let me go. So my research was limited, but I got some key information. It was 1993 when they started to build the Food Network. And they didn't call it that at first. At first, it was the Television Food Network, because somebody else owned the rights to Food Network and the Cooking Channel. And
really?
Yes. So Television Food Network eventually was able to buy out those rights, become Food Network, and own the Cooking Channel as well as a bunch of other channels that they've spawned from it.
Damn.
But then came the moment that I started thinking about the earliest things that I watched on Food Network, the mm-hmm. earliest memories that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one guy, a host, that stood out. What really stood out about him as a host, he was a host for a bunch of different shows. Specifically, one show where they would go around and talk about various food products as food products were being made and then sold and distributed in stores. And I don't remember the name of the show. And again, I didn't do enough research because I wasn't feeling like it. I was lazy.
Okay.
But I remember the shows distinctly. They don't show them now anymore, but it was heavy, heavy rotation. This was the stuff that was on late at night and early in the morning on Food Network in all their reruns.
I'm trying to think and of who it is.
Well, this guy became kind of the father of the Food Network shows.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember really enjoying watching him because he made me nostalgic for childhood. This is a guy that I trusted. This is a guy that you know, I would listen to. He holds a specific rarefied air for me.
Uh-huh.
And I believe he was chosen specifically to draw us in. I believe there's a conspiracy involved in this.
Okay.
And even if there isn't a conspiracy involved in this, this was damn good marketing to pick this guy.
Okay.
Because even if they didn't intend to draw in the demographic they did, I believe they drew in this demographic as we were reaching adulthood and had our ability to have our own TV shows and watch our own things. And crap, we don't know how to cook because our parents didn't teach us because all of our parents failed at teaching us how to really be adults. So we have to figure out ways to cook. Oh, there's this show that shows us how to cook. And we see this guy hosting these shows. And it's so comforting. It's so wonderful.
Because he's
been in our home. He was a part of us, just like people like Pat Sajak and Alex Trebek are a part of the American consciousness.
Wait a minute. These
guys are a part of the American consciousness as for all adults in America.
Dude,
this specific
shut
guy,
up.
This specific
no
guy,
way.
This specific guy meant something to our generation. He was somebody that we saw.
Uh-huh.
He was somebody that we connected to. And he was one of the people who started Food Network and started hosting all of these shows. And I believe he's the one that drew us all in. You know who I'm talking about, right?
I think I do.
What's his name?
Richard Karn?
No.
Oh.
No, no.
I'm completely wrong.
I'm going to blow you away then, sir. I'm going to blow you away.
Who is this?
What does the name Mark Summers mean to you?
Shut up. Mark Summers was doing this shit?
Mark Summers was one of the original people
fucking Double Dare, man.
Network. Exactly.
Dude, he was Double Dare. He was, wasn't he Legends of the Hidden Temple too?
I think he might have been involved with that as well. But Double Dare was the thing that, that made him kind of, he was our game show host.
He started like the whole Food Network thing? Shut up.
In fact, there are a few Food Network shows that even, you know, shows end with kind of a still or something for the production company, whoever produces the show. You know, each different show has their own production thing, either by the person who's on the show or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Summers was involved in producing a bunch of the early Food Network shows, including, I believe, Alton Brown's show.
I'm not familiar with Alton Brown.
You don't know Alton Brown?
Mm-mm.
What the?
Sorry.
I just moved like far away from the microphone, and if I was looking at you, I would be giving you the eye of like, what the fuck is wrong with you, bish?
By the way,
hold on. I just want to make it clear for everybody listening. That is bish, B-I-S-H.
Oh, boy.
Not bitch.
Okay.
Because bish is a term of endearment.
Okay.
Bitch can be an insult, but bish is a term of endearment. Right, bish?
What?
Anyway.
Let's move on. I don't know how to respond. What do I do with my hands?
I can respond. I don't know if you can respond. But no, Mark Summers was involved in the early years of Food Network. And even if it wasn't intended to bring him in and suck in our entire generation, that I believe was what happened, because this is a guy with Double Dare that we trusted.
Yeah, for sure,
the show that he was that he started on Food Network was a show called Unwrapped. On Nickelodeon he did Double Dare and What Would You Do.
That's what Unwrapped, it was. What Would You Do?
Yep, Unwrapped, The Next Food Network Star, Dinner Impossible, and Restaurant Impossible were all stuff that he worked with. Dinner Impossible, Restaurant Impossible, he was executive producer on, and those would be the shows that the British chef guy did. I can't even think of his name now. Hardcore British chef guy. He also was host of Hollywood Squares for a while. But
wait, the British guy?
Yeah. No, Mark Summers.
Oh, Mark Summers. Summers. Oh, okay.
But no, that's the thing is he. Let's see. He also produced a show called Pick Your Brain. I can't believe you said that. But yeah, this guy was brought in, and
I'll be damned, dude. That's
he just did all these. He did these shows like Unwrapped, again, The Next Food Network Star, which is where Guy Fieri actually came from, was The Next Food Network Star.
Uh-huh.
And he was a major part of all of the start of Food Network. And again, even if they didn't intend to bring our generation in with that, I think that was part of the effect that it had. At least for me, he was one of the first people I remember being on that network. You know, first face that was somebody that was familiar to me on the network. You know, you learn all the other people, but this guy was familiar. I knew Mark Summers, and he's talking on the Unwrapped show. He's talking about all these different things that, like, oh yeah, I had those when I was a kid. That's great. The nostalgia train was going, and it brought me into Food Network, became my go-to place. Alton Brown, again, I'm so shocked that you don't know him, is responsible for like 20 dishes that I make and probably 100 different ways that I go about cooking.
Really?
Oh yeah, dude. Alton Brown, you need to find, okay, the TV show Good Eats. Did you ever watch Good Eats?
So I'm going to make a confession here.
You don't watch food porn?
No. I used to when I was a kid. My mom would have it running when I was like, way back in the day. Now, the stuff from Mark Summers, after you mentioned his name and he was, and you mentioned that kind of stuff, like near what I was like the ass end of my high school years, That was when I started to see some of the Food Network stuff with him.
Yeah, that's when that it was. Because my mom was watching the Food Network. It was the late 90s. The Food Network really started taking off.
Yeah. Okay. So my mom was watching it around then, but by that time, I kind of had. I just wasn't really interested in watching food porn. But I definitely was. I know what you're talking about with him. I remember seeing him there. There are other guys though that I remember, other people that would run cooking shows that were not part of the Food Network.
Back in the day,
Martin Yan was another guy that I remember. Like, he's a way back in the day kind of dude. I don't think that guy's done anything in years.
I remember that one. I mean, there was Julia Child way back in the day.
Julia Child was super way back in the day. Martin Yan is like halfway between Julia Child and Mark Summers. So Martin Yan would run stuff. He would do stuff on network television. He was one of those guys that would run. He ran a show called Yan Can Cook. That was the name of the show.
Oh, that's Martin Yan.
Yeah, that's Martin Yan. Okay. That guy was like super, super, super charismatic. He's probably the last dude that I remember doing cooking shows that were just like super enthralling, and I was like 12 and watching this guy. He was freaking insane. You had Emeril Lagasse too. Emeril Lagasse seemed he was like very much a veteran by the time I stopped watching. I remember seeing him a little bit in high school, but that was near the time when I really stopped having interest watching Food Network stuff. Like, my mom would watch it, like I said, but I would be at school or I would be, you know, playing video games or hanging out with friends and stuff. I just never watched that stuff.
I can say I didn't get to watch it as a teenager because when I was a teenager, the only TV we had was one of those gigantic 8-foot wide satellite dishes that, like, you would have to move it to different satellites, and each satellite you maybe got 3 channels that came in.
Oh, yeah, and you had to wait like 20 seconds for the satellite to turn.
Yeah, you would have to dial in that you wanted to go to like the GT4 satellite, and then like you could hear the motor wind up and watch the big dish turn.
Yep.
Outside the house. I mean, no, that was. I mean,
I had some friends that had some.
We lived out in the country. Yeah, we lived out in the country, so there was nothing.
Yeah, that was the only way that you had, you know, any.
Yeah, eventually when I was working at Blockbuster, I eventually got my parents hooked up with DirecTV, and my dad still has the same DirecTV that he had.
Your dad has DirecTV still?
Yeah, 20 years later, he still has DirecTV.
Holy smokes.
I think he's got a new satellite dish since then, because I think he had to. Something happened to his old one. But he literally has the exact same DirecTV account that he has always had. That he's had since I signed him up when it was a promotion at Blockbuster. It's the same damn account.
Oh my goodness! But
that's because he still lives up in the woods, man. The only thing he has for TV is some kind of satellite, and he don't got time to go shopping around. Like, oh, maybe Dish is a better price. No, he's like, screw it. I have this. I'll just keep paying for this.
That's funny.
He don't care as long as he gets to watch his football games. He don't care.
I can get behind that. I can understand occasionally that.
If he can occasionally find a John Wayne movie playing on like TBS or some crap, he's happy.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Hondo again. Hopefully it's not the 3D version.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did put that out in 3D.
Yeah, I remember going to 7-Eleven to get the 3D glasses to watch the 3D Hondo version, thinking, this is going to be so cool. I get to watch a movie in 3D at home. And then I remember Hondo is a really slow, boring-ass movie.
Why that one? Why not fucking Star Trek or something? Or even Star Trek, that's one of the slower ones.
I mean, seriously, give us something. Give us something. But no, Hondo. It's like, great.
I want to know who made that decision.
Probably Ted Turner back in the day. I'm sure he did. I like that movie.
Did you ever see, okay.
Dude, you're 200. Of course you like that movie. It's your kind of pace. You only understand things after they, 8 seconds after they happen. Damn, man.
Dude, did you ever watch Robot Chicken back in the day?
What's Robot Chicken?
Seriously? You don't know what Robot Chicken is?
Did you do something to your chickens, dude?
No, I didn't do anything to my chickens. This is a serious question now, because I think you're fucking with me, and it's weird. Have you ever seen?
Wouldn't it be great if you could see my facial expressions right now?
Yes.
Beauty of distance.
God damn it. Okay.
I'm guessing this is some kind of a animated show, right?
Oh, okay. Seriously, are you fucking with me, or have you like legit never seen it?
What's an aluminum falcon?
Okay, good. All right.
how many Robot Chicken references have I made during our friendship, sir?
I wasn't sure.
I'm hurt. Go for Papa Palpatine.
Well done. Have you ever seen the one? Okay,
he's crying now.
We'll get on track real quick because this brought in Robot Chicken was based on the. Have you ever seen the Ted Turner sketch?
Ooh, probably, but I don't. It's not one that stood out to me.
Oh my God, it is brilliant. I'm gonna have to share it with you, Ted. It's Ted Turner. He goes insane, paints himself blue, starts kicking the shit out of people that aren't throwing their stuff in the trash, calls himself Captain Planet, and jumps out a window. It is the funniest damn sketch they've done, and it was one of the funniest early sketches that they ever did. And it was just because, like, I thought it was hilarious because I knew who Ted Turner was, and it's such a industry joke, but it was so nuts, and it was a commentary on how he was out of his mind.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day with like most of the decisions he made. And this was like a commentary on that. But dude, when he just paints himself blue, he paints himself blue, like running around in his underwear, painted blue, calls himself Captain Planet, and just kicks the shit out of people in his office building until he jumps out the window. It's the dumbest, funniest sketch I've seen in quite some time. One of those makes absolutely zero sense kind of deals. I'm sorry, we killed the reference because of the trolling.
The trolling was good. The trolling was fun, sir. I've loved Robot Chicken for many years.
Oh, good. I'm gonna have to show you the Ted Turner sketch.
If it's in the early seasons, I probably saw it the first like two or three seasons. I got to see the majority of it. It was after that I didn't see a whole lot of it. Very similar to like the phenomenon of South Park. I watched the first maybe two seasons, and then of course the movie.
Yes,
but after that, I really fell off the kind of watching wagon. I saw various here and there episodes, but the first season I was exceptionally familiar with. We actually used to watch the first season in my high school English class.
Oh yeah, dude. Dude, South Park came out like, let's see, you graduated a year ahead of me, right? 1 or 2 years ahead of me?
Yeah, it was in the late '90s. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember watching the hold on a second. No, we're not going to do that right now, stupid computer. Anyway, moving on. I remember watching the original pilot where it's Jesus fighting Santa Claus.
Oh, dude. I've got to. Man. All right. I'm gonna show. Oh, okay. I'm going to tell you and everybody else something. I'm going to tell you and everybody else something that this is. Okay. So I collect video games. I'm pretty sure I've talked about it at one point on the podcast. I don't know if I have. James is obviously very, very. He obviously knows that I collect video games. And he does as well. But I look for some of the more.
To an extent, yeah.
Obscure ones. And way back in the day, so out here, we're out in the Sacramento area, there was a record store that was out here for a very, very long time. They were around for 40 years, called Dimple Records. Fantastic. Like, they lasted like 10 years past when Tower Records closed. 10, 12 years past that. And Tower Records was a national phenomenon. They were huge. But anyways, Dimple deals...
Dimple was like... Dimple was the go-to place. The only place that was even more go-to was at least up a little north of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. The only other place was the Underground.
Oh,
the
man,
Underground
yeah.
was kind of a go-to.
Yeah, but they didn't do the same amount of Dimple. Yeah, they didn't do the same amount of types of media.
Dimple
was humongous. Yeah, multiple locations.
Underground was just Yeah, Underground was just music and music memorabilia. You know, occasional stuff. Actually, anything that was there was somehow music related.
Yeah.
And
Dimple did music too. Dimple they did video everything. Games, all this kind of stuff. So anyways, going back to the South Park thing. So there is a copy of a game. Is it Tiger Woods 99? I believe. I think it's Tiger Woods 99. It's either Tiger Woods 99 or 97. So the Jesus versus Santa sketch, the pilot episode that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So the first pressing of the retail copies of Tiger Woods 99 has a file on it. And the file is like a random bin file or something like that. Well, if you open that file, you have to like stick the PlayStation. It's on the original PlayStation. You put the PlayStation disc in your Windows computer. It is a Windows Media Player file of that South Park episode, and it was legit pirated onto like thousands of copies of that game.
Nice.
Since then, that multiple copies of that game were recalled as soon as they found out. They fired the guy that did it, and
of course,
you know, all that kind of stuff. However, a few copies of that game still were circulating, first pressings. I'm out at Dimple like 2 years ago, and I see Tiger Woods 99 on the shelf, and I'm like, I think I know what that game is. I'm looking at it, it's like $6 because sports games have zero resale value. Yeah. Sports games have no resale value at all. So I'm like, you don't fuck it. I'm going to give it a shot. Why not? So I buy it $6. I immediately go home. I pop that disc in, and it's got the pirated South Park episode on it. I happen to have a first pressing of that. And
nice.
That has like an elevated worth because of the file that's sitting on it. And it's a horrible quality movie file. Back 98-99, right? Like this is way, way, way back.
No, this is bad. I mean, the original short was made back in like 96, 97.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, right before they broke. Yeah.
Really.
That was the
made.
Pilot that got them on Comedy Central.
Yeah, and I mean,
and it was circulated
hilarious.
On the internet. It was pirated and circulated on the internet. This is like way the hell before like anything like multimedia, YouTube, anything like that. Absolutely not even doable.
YouTube didn't exist till Justin Timberlake showed Janet Jackson's boob. So I mean,
we did a feature on that, I believe. One of our older episodes. You could catch any one of those older episodes on our YouTube page.
Yes. On the YouTube.
See that? That's a plug.
And Janet Jackson's boob, if you really need to see it.
Is it still there?
Although,
I thought they pulled it.
Although I would recommend...
I think you might have to go to Pornhub for that now.
I was going to say, if you're really jonesing for boobs, go to some of the various porn sites and share that with your partner. Because, you know, that can maybe have some good sexual communication between the two of you. Just saying. Throwbacks to other episodes, man. Get people excited. Yeah. Check out our other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Awesome stuff. And now...
positive here, goddammit.
we went from Food Network to South Park and porn.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? It's the way that it works.
I was going to say, does it go... Yeah, just whatever.
Get your bish ass back in the kitchen and make me a pie.
Oh,
seriously.
Gosh.
Do your impersonation of David Caruso's career. My turn. Sorry.
Dude,
sorry,
you've got
South Park reference
personally, like as somebody who has grown up along with the show, myself, South Park continues to be awesome. There's a lot of younger generation people that don't necessarily get it, that they're just not digging on it anymore.
Oh, no,
a lot of millennials in general.
Yeah, I found myself within the last month or so with all this, again, lockdown, sitting at home, more time with the TV. And I thought I had a lot of time with the TV before. No, it's even more so now. And there's nothing on. That's one of the biggest problems is not only is there more time with the TV, but there is nothing on because everything is shut down. Like normally this time of the year, I will admit I'm pretty much glued to NFL Network because they're starting up, you know, they just had the draft. All the new players came in. They're doing interviews. They're doing all kinds of different things. And they're coming up with all kinds of weird stories about what's going to happen in training camp. None of that is happening right now. It's just people talking like we're doing. On their computers at their own homes, and they do the same crap over and over again. It's like, there's nothing new. It's not worth watching. I go watch Food Network, and it's like, okay, I've already seen this episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and it really sucks to watch this because I can't go to any of these places and get food right now. Damn it.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Oh.
And then
that's
so
an
like,
exercise and, in I depression, mean, sir.
It's all right. I mean, it's better than, you know, infecting people with a disease. I can live without having my nails done and getting a hamburger somewhere.
We went there. We said we weren't going to go there. We went there.
I went there. But anyway, or I didn't go there because I stayed at home like a good citizen.
Oh, I'm
doing what I can. And if Michael Bay was filming me right now, there'd be a giant American flag billowing behind me.
I was going to say, anyway, man, where's the propaganda poster at?
I don't know. Not in here. There's no posters in here. Anyway, moving on. So I've been checking out various, because South Park is like playing constantly on Comedy Central right now. And I'm going to check it out at different points and being like, okay, where are we at? Which year is this? Okay, 2015. Whoa. Okay. Interesting. Topical for the time. Nice take on it. I like it. Okay. the standard humor that I would expect from it. Got it. Cartman is a little douche fuck. Kind of always has been. Damn, he's gotten worse.
Oh, yeah. He gets worse.
And so it's
he gets bad. You thought he hit the bottom when he's trying to round up people as Adolf Hitler on Halloween. No.
Oh no! It gets worse. I know the episode. I know the episode of him putting people into border containment stuff. Yeah, I know about that recently.
Oh, that's the more recent episode. The one where where he starts calling on people and putting them in the camps. Oh, that's bad. Did you ever see the this is a few years back. Did you ever see the Asperger's one?
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to share that. I'll link that episode to you.
I'm going to have to watch that.
It is as terrible as you could possibly think.
Which means it's going to be very amusing.
Extremely.
I find it to be still relevant and still fun, and I like the idea that we still have people out there that are poking fun at every single part of the establishment. And
yes. Well, please continue. Sorry.
It's beautiful because it's equal opportunity attack. It's not just attacking. In this world right now, we're becoming so polarized, especially politically. And South Park continues to attack on both sides of everything, on all sides of everything. It's not like they take one political side or another. And even when they're trying to put a message forth about a thing that they are for, that they're supporting, they are still attacking even the thing that they're supporting. They are so equal opportunity about attacking everybody and everything. And then you get the message within it, but they are relentless about doing it. And it's still just amazing to see them still attacking everything like that with that kind of abandon. I'm a firm believer. If you can't make jokes about all the things in your life, you're taking your life too seriously.
Absolutely.
You need to be able to find the humor in it. I was tagged in a post today that was a football based post. It was this guy that was trying to do, that was basically doing, you know, humorous imitations of if you ask an NFL quarterback to pass you a bottle of water. Okay.
Okay.
And it started with, I think, Patrick Mahomes, who was the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, so you this is all your right up your alley.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Well, he's the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl winners.
Right,
and he's well known for his no look passes. So that's basically what he does. He looks directly into camera and throws the bottle kind of off to his right to somebody. No look pass. It's like, oh, great, cool. Then I forget who the second one was. Might have been Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Right.
And he's basically looking for big money contract. So he's like holding the bottle, pretending he's going to throw it, asking for money. He gets money and he throws it, but he ends up dropping the bottle behind him while he's back in throwing motion. Dak Prescott's not necessarily the best quarterback and maybe not worth the money that he's going to be demanding.
Right.
Then they have him be Tom Brady. He takes the bottle, opens the bottle, pours a little bit out of the bottle, seals the bottle back up, kisses it, and then throws it.
Okay, that one I get. And I would dude, you describing it made me lose it. That one I get. Oh, I remember, knowing nothing, I at least know about that. Yeah. That's fantastic.
One of the other ones he did was Carson Wentz, the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Uh-huh.
Carson Wentz has been injured basically his whole career. So he had Carson Wentz going back to throw the ball and then feigning an injury and not being able to throw it.
Oh, that's terrible. Then
he does Jimmy Garoppolo of the 49ers,
right,
the current quarterback of the 49ers. And he has Jimmy Garoppolo, instead of throwing the bottle to somebody, he just keeps handing bottles to somebody. Which, for anybody that's not a big football fan or doesn't know, and for explanation, more for Mike, because I think he kind of gets it, but I don't know if he fully does. In the playoff games this last year, basically, for one game, I think he ended up throwing like 10 total passes, but handed the ball off like 47 times. And the running back got like 240 yards running and scored like four touchdowns.
Wow.
Because the opposing defense could not stop the running back. So the head coach is just like, yeah, just keep handing the ball off until they stop that.
I was going to say, and it just sounds like he just kept going with, like, you know, you had Kaepernick with the option run. This guy's got option handoff.
Yeah, well, what it came down to is people, the pundits kind of gave the team crap. Oh, they don't trust Jimmy to throw the ball. Oh, they that's why they're taking it out of his hands. It's like, no, the other team literally could not stop the running back. He was running all over him. He ran for 240 yards.
That's fantastic.
He just kept running all day long. And why not just – and I was – At the press conference afterwards, Jimmy Garoppolo was just like, yeah, that's all I have to do is throw 10 passes. That's all I'm going to do is throw 10 passes. But it was so funny just to see him. Yeah, he did it perfectly. Just hand a water bottle, and then fist in the air. And that one I just about bust out laughing. And that's the point I'm trying to make. There was a couple others, including Deshaun Watson. He got tackled before he could throw the ball, which is Deshaun Watson was having that problem, getting tackled too quickly, not being able to get the ball out. And then the other one was Mitchell Trubisky, a guy that the Bears had done a bad deal in the draft to move down one spot to draft him. They didn't have to move down the one spot because the team that had the pick wasn't going to pick a quarterback, but they did it anyway. And Mitchell Trubisky has been nothing but a garbage player the entire time he's been in the league. And just the way the guy did it, he had Trubisky draw back to throw the pass, and then he threw the water bottle at the ceiling, and it busted. And it was so hilarious. I lost it at that just because it was a really funny thing. But even the Garoppolo thing, I was laughing because it's my team, yeah. And it still stings a little that they weren't able to win the Super Bowl. But you got to be able to laugh about those things, because you can't laugh about those things – And again, South Park is it still seems to be hitting everybody, and they get their message across, but they don't pull no punches on anyone getting it across, and I like that. That's
my favorite.
It's got to be freeing for them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. My favorite part about what goes on with South Park themselves, or with Trey and Matt, they have this ability to at least exercise a proper moral barometer in the middle of the offensive comedy. They're probably the closest thing to George Carlin that I've seen in a very long time, where they can sit there and skirt offensiveness and have a social commentary that still allows you to exercise logic and, to be completely honest, logic and a real, not superficial, a real legitimate moral barometer. When you watch the show, they are.
Well, and that's the key.
Yeah.
The morality is the key. You can see that there's nothing that's changed necessarily, not really at all. There's nothing that's changed in their morality throughout the whole run of the show.
No, the entire
time.
It's very
clear what they consider right and wrong.
Absolutely. And they always go back to that. The lessons that are learned are absolutely legitimate when it comes down to legitimate social commentary. They teach you a lot of things about how you should view the chaos that is society on a continual basis, And it really is a very sobering and very relieving gesture to have, especially in times like these, man.
Oh yes, and that's been some of the enjoyment of being able to watch them right now is just it adds that extra level of not feeling so alone in the chaos. If that makes any sense.
Yes, absolutely, it makes perfect sense.
But anyway, I think we've done good for today, don't you?
I think so. I think today, I think that's a great note to end things on. I think that we've done very, very well.
Yeah, we need some kind of an outlet in the chaos.
Absolutely.
So, as usual, Mike, where can people find us to listen to us?
Well, you can listen to us at thezennialchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. Speaking of Zenchron, you can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Zenchron, spelled the same way. As far as other podcasts in general, like podcast websites, we are on Spotify, we are on TuneIn, we are on Apple, we are on all the places.
Google,
we're on Google, we're on all the places. And also, our entire archive is available as well on YouTube, and I think a large amount of those are available as videos on our Facebook page as well, so you can catch us on all those places. If you're hearing us on YouTube, make sure you click the subscribe button, make sure you click the bell icon to get notified when another video comes out or another podcast comes out or what have you, and subscribe to us on all those other podcast websites as well.
And remember, reminder to anybody who's listened before and for people listening new, please feel free to comment on Facebook, to comment on YouTube. We're more than glad to interact with you, answer any questions that you might have, and we are always open to subjects to talk about on the podcast. There have been people before who have recommended subjects, and we have talked about them. We will do it again, especially now. If you're listening to us while you're trying to stay at home, trying to keep safe, keep your family safe, whatever, follow whatever instructions you've been given from your various government officials. if you're listening to this because you're bored and you want to hear us talk about something, you're like, these two guys are kind of funny. I'd like to hear what they have to say about, I don't know, Disney movies.
I was going to say, like,
Little Mermaid.
I bet you that we could find something interesting and Zennial related in most major pop culture iconography that you can find. So please, if you guys have any interest in any specific subjects, let us know. We'll take a look into it and we'll go ahead and report back to you on this.
Yes, we'll be more than glad to talk about it, because hey, that gives us something to talk about, and it also makes less work for my lazy ass. And I like less work. So anyway, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.